Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So, if you remember, back over the weekend of Palm Sunday, just a few weeks ago, my family and I, we were not here. We had actually traveled up to Oklahoma for Sarah's grandma's funeral. And let me just say, the drive up there was not a fun drive. Between the wrecks and the traffic jams, construction, it was just kind of an exhausting drive, and we were ready to get to Sarah's parents' house. But when we were just about 30 minutes away from Sarah's parents' house, an indicator came on my dash saying that I had low tire pressure in one of my tires. And in my car, it tells me what that pressure is, and it's supposed to be in the 30s. It was down to 22, and we were in the middle of a construction zone with concrete walls on both sides of us with no shoulders, and so there was nothing for us to do except for just to keep going. And I'm watching, as we're driving, I'm watching that number, the PSI of the tire just continued to go down lower and lower. 22, 21, 18. I think it got all the way down to 11 before we were finally able to pull off and I was able to change the tire. So we're in this series right now titled The Struggle is Real. And as we're going through this series, I've connected this back with our vision for this year, this vision of next, where we're asking this question, where am I in my walk with the Lord, and what is my next step? Because where we might be right now is right in the middle of a struggle. And so my desire as we go through this series is to turn to God's Word so that we can provide biblical answers for these real life struggles, so that as you recognize that, yes, the struggle is real, that you'll also recognize that so is our God. God is real too. Now, so far, we've talked about the struggle of fear. We've talked about the struggle of aging. We've talked about the struggle of loneliness. This morning, we're going to talk about another very real struggle, the struggle of burnout. And burnout is an issue that is near and dear to my heart because burnout is something that I have experienced multiple times in my lifetime. And this is what I know to be true about burnout. Usually, burnout doesn't happen suddenly like a tire that blows out or a tire that shreds. Rather, burnout usually is like that tire that's just losing air slowly. And you can feel that that your steam is getting lower, and that you have less and less to give, and you feel like you're trapped, like there's no place to escape to, and so it's just a slow burn where you keep losing more and more until you realize that you have nothing left to give. And maybe you're here today and you would say, you're already in that place. You are already in that place of burnout. Or maybe you recognize that you're still in that place where you are losing air. You're not quite flat, but you recognize that you're getting lower and lower, and that if you're not careful, you will find yourself in that place of burnout very soon. And if so, if that's you today, and hear me, this message is for you. So if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 28 through 30 today. It's just three verses, but these three verses are very powerful verses, and they're going to be important for us as we consider this very real struggle of burnout. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Now, the words that we're about to read in our passage, these are words spoken by Jesus. In fact, in your copy of God's Word, you may see that the words are printed in red to indicate that these words are spoken by Jesus. And so it's important for us, if we're going to understand what Jesus was saying here, it's important for us to understand the context of what Jesus was saying these words in at that time. So the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the day, they were putting a lot of unnecessary rules and expectations on the people that were desiring to be saved. It's not just that they were telling the people to keep the law, but they were giving them additional burdens to carry. They were saying, well, you've got to do this and this and this. In addition to law, man, you've got to do this and this if you want to be right with God. Jesus, in fact, addresses these Pharisees later on in Matthew 23:4, saying, they tie up heavy loads that are hard to carry and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves aren't willing to lift a finger to move them. Naturally, all of these additional expectations that the Pharisees were putting onto these people, it created a burden for them, and it was causing them to grow weary. In fact, let me just say this. A works-based religion is unsustainable. Why? Because a works-based religion makes it all about you. It's all about what you have to do in order to be saved. It's all about the work that you need to put forth. And if you've ever tried over a period of time, what you find is that eventually you will fail. Because in our own strength, when we put forth our own effort, we are not able to sustain that. I'll give you an example. This is not of works-based religion, but just of our own strength. So I recognize that I am a fairly thin individual, which is important for me to stay somewhat thin because I have high blood pressure. I'm on blood pressure medication for that, but it's important for me to maintain a thinner build because that helps with my blood pressure. And so that means that I have to eat healthier so that I can keep my weight down. And after kids camp last year, after eating unhealthy all summer long, I decided I'm going to start tracking what I'm eating. And I did pretty good for several months. In fact, in our kitchen, we have a counter on our wall. It says, days since the last incident. And we keep track of all of these days. And for me, the day since the last incident is, when was the last time I went off the rails and I just ate unhealthy? So I'm proud to say that right now that counter is at zero. I did pretty well for a while. Coming back from kids camp, I started tracking everything that I was eating. I lost quite a bit of weight. I got up to 196 days, maybe over 200, I can't remember. But then one day that burger looked really good. And then that pizza slice looked good. And so on. And I have not been able to get back on track. You see, when we put forth our own effort, when we do stuff in our own strength, we might be able to last for a good long time, but ultimately we are going to fail. And in a works-based religion, when we are trying to do it in our own strength, it's all about what we can do for God, all about what we can do for Jesus in order to save us. Ultimately, we will fail. And so the Pharisees, they were putting all of these burdens, telling them this is what you have to do if you want to be saved. And it became an impossible task, and it was burdensome. And so what we're going to see in our passage this morning is that Jesus recognizing the burden that the Pharisees were putting on the people, Jesus is going to offer an invitation, and it's an invitation not to work, but to rest. So with that in mind, let's read our verses, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, as we look at this passage this morning, I want to begin by focusing on the invitation that we see Jesus give there at the start of verse 30 or 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Now, I want you to hear what Jesus did not say. Jesus did not say, "Come to me, all you who are wicked." Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." So I want you to hear me this morning. Jesus invites the weary, not just the wicked. Hear that again. Jesus invites the weary, not just the wicked. Now, are the wicked invited to come to Jesus? Absolutely. Anyone who is willing to recognize the sin that is in their life, the sin that separates us from God, the sin that needs to be forgiven, that we might be saved and redeemed, anyone who is willing to call upon the name of Jesus to be saved is invited to come. And let me just say this, apart from Jesus, we are all wicked. So yes, the wicked are invited to come, but recognizing the burdens that they were enduring and the burnout that they were experiencing, Jesus doesn't just address the wicked here, he addresses the weary. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." If you recognize that you can't do it on your own, if you're worn out, if you're exhausted from trying to work for your salvation, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Jesus invites the weary, not just the wicked. And so the question that I would ask you this morning is, are you weary? Are you worn out in your body? Are you worn out in your mind? Are you worn out deep down in your spirit? Are you weary? If you are, then I want you to hear me. Jesus is the answer. Now, you might say, well, of course Jesus is the answer. We're in church. Jesus is always the answer when we're in church. If you ever think about Sunday school, every answer is Jesus, right? Jesus is always the answer. But I want you to realize, yes, Jesus is the answer for us within these walls, but Jesus is also the answer for us outside of these walls. Jesus is the answer for us wherever we are, whatever we're doing, wherever we go, whatever we're going through, Jesus is always the answer for us. He is the answer for the burdens that we carry. He's the answer for the rest that we need. Jesus is the answer. And while this call to come to Jesus to find rest is most assuredly and undoubtedly a call for us to experience spiritual rest, I believe that there are also some physical implications as well. And not only that, but I believe that we see some important things to help us to address burnout in our lives today. And so there are a few things that I want us to understand as we walk through this passage this morning. First, I want you to understand that Jesus gives us a model to follow. Jesus gives us a model to follow. As Jesus invites the weary and the burdened to come to him, and as he promises to give rest, Jesus says in verse 29, "Take up my yoke and learn from me." Jesus gives us a model to follow. And let me just say, if we're looking for a model to follow, Jesus is the best model to learn from. Because Jesus has been modeling rest for us from the very beginning. Think back to creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we see that God worked. He created for 6 days, but on the seventh day, God rested. Now understand, God did not rest because he got tired. God did not rest because he needed to take a nap. God rested because he stopped working. He stopped creating. And so we're told that God rested because, not because God grows weary, not because God needs rest, but I believe that God tells us that he rested because God knows that we grow weary. God knows that we need rest. And so from the very beginning, God, and I would say Jesus, because Jesus is God, and Scripture tells us that all things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. Because God knows that we need to rest, God modeled rest for us. And not only did God model rest for us, but God also commanded us to rest. The fourth commandment tells us to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. And while part of remembering the Sabbath is to give ourselves time to focus on the Lord, to grow spiritually, the other part of that is to set aside time to rest, to stop the work. And let me just say, this is probably one of the commands that is the easiest for us to break. Because if you're like me, there's just one more thing that I need to do, and then I will rest. As a pastor, I recognize that I am guilty of breaking that command all too often. In fact, I saw a meme on social media not too long ago that said, working at a church is saying, but after this week, things will slow down a bit over and over again until you die. And there has never been a meme that I have related to more. Because there's always one more thing to do. And there's always an excuse to neglect rest and to keep working. And before we know it, we've worked and worked and worked. And for me, I mean, I've gone weeks at times without taking that time to rest. Now, if you're getting concerned about me, I do want you to know that over the last year, I have been a lot more intentional and purposeful to be obedient to this command, to take that time to rest so that I can be physically and spiritually replenished instead of depleted. But this is what I recognize. You might be able to relate to this because it's probably not just pastors and ministers that experience this. Rather, it's probably teachers, doctors, nurses, lawyers, those that work out in the field. All of us are probably guilty at times of prioritizing other things and not taking the time to rest as we have been commanded to do. And let me just say this, as we think about Jesus modeling rest for us, when Jesus was here on this earth, when Jesus was a human, there were many times that Jesus got away from the ministry duties, that Jesus got away from the crowds. He got away from the preaching, and he would get alone with the Father. He would get alone so that he could rest, so that he could have that time to spiritually grow with his Father, so that he could go to the source, so that he could be replenished. So let me pause right here and say this. We must take time to go to the source to be replenished. We must take time to get away from the crazy work schedules, to get away from the crazy sports schedules, to get away from anything and everything that is continually keeping us on the go. We must take time to get away to rest so that we can find rest not just in our day, but so that we can find rest in the person of Jesus Christ. We must take time to go to the source to be replenished. So if you're struggling with burnout, I want you to understand that Jesus gives us a model to follow. Second, I want you to understand that Jesus gives us rest to experience. So not only does Jesus say at the end of verse 28, I will give you rest, but at the end of verse 29, Jesus says, you will find rest for your souls. Now again, undoubtedly, this is referring to a spiritual rest that Jesus provides for us. He's telling those that are burdened by the rules and the expectations that the Pharisees that they've put on them, that while their rules create a burden unable to save, Jesus provides a yoke that gives us a rest knowing that we have been saved. And it's not a rest found in our own works, it is a rest found in the work of Jesus Christ. But this is why I believe this passage is an important one for us when it comes to burnout, because I believe that when we have true rest for our souls, found in Jesus Christ alone, what we also experience is this ripple effect into the other areas of our life. Because when we know that it's Jesus that saves us, no one else can save us. When we realize that it's Jesus and Jesus alone that saves us, we no longer have to strive for the approval of others. Now, that does not mean that we don't still live and operate as a good employee, right? We don't say, well, I'm just living for the approval of Jesus so I can be a bad employee. I'm not living for the approval of my boss. No, we are to do all things as unto the Lord. We are to still work and be a good employee. But what it means is that we don't have to live with an added pressure thinking that there's some standard that we have to live up to. You know, it's so easy to live with this mindset of, I wonder what they're thinking about me. Or I wonder if I will ever be good enough for them. And we walk around thinking that people are constantly judging us. And maybe they are, but I would say more often than not, they are not. More often than not, they are trying to just get through another day just like you are. Here's the truth. You're probably harder on yourself than others are. You probably think worse thoughts about yourself and judge yourself more harshly than others do. You're probably harder on yourself than others are. And trying to live up to all of these expectations and this added pressure that we place on ourselves, it can become extremely burdensome. And it can become exhausting, both spiritually and physically speaking. And so I would just remind you today, if you are a believer, your worth is in Jesus. Your worth is not in your success. Your worth is not in how much money you make, or what kind of car you drive, or how big your house is. Your worth is in Jesus. Now, if you've not yet given your life to Christ, you may still be trying to find your worth in all of these other things. And I would encourage you, come to Jesus. Experience rest in Him as you realize that your worth is in Him and Him alone. So that instead of trying to work for the approval of others, an approval that ultimately does not matter, we can rest in the approval of the one who does. Don't work for the approval of others. Rest in the approval of the one who truly matters. So if you're struggling with burnout, I want you to understand that Jesus gives us a model to follow and Jesus gives us rest to experience. Finally, this morning, I want you to understand that Jesus gives us a yoke to take up. And Jesus says in verse 30 that His yoke is a different yoke than other yokes. He says, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Now, living in a more rural area, you are probably a little more familiar with what a yoke is. It's that beam that connects oxen together. And they do the work together. And so the people at that time, as Jesus begins to talk about this yoke, they would understand Jesus to be referring to something that represented labor. Now, why would Jesus, as he's talking to these people that are weary, why would he begin talking about labor? Well, because Jesus recognized that they were weary in their work, in the work that the Pharisees had placed upon them. They were burnt out in trying to work for their salvation. And so as their mind was already in a place of work, Jesus says, "But come and pair yourself with me. Come and pair yourself with my work and see that it is easy and light." Understand, many yokes are a burden. The yoke of Jesus is a blessing. Many yokes are a burden. The yoke of Jesus is a blessing. And as we think about taking up the yoke of Jesus, while again it addresses the most ultimate need that we have, which is salvation and spiritual rest in Jesus Christ, we see these ripple effects into the physical as we take up the yoke of Jesus. What are some of these ripple effects? Well, the yoke of Jesus causes us to reevaluate our pace. Are we trying to race ahead of Jesus? Are we trying to do things in our own strength, or are we right there with Jesus? Or are we still working when Jesus has called us to rest? You know, our pace might be the wrong pace, but the pace of Jesus is the perfect pace. The yoke of Jesus also causes us to reevaluate our priorities. Because if my life is now linked with Jesus, the question becomes, am I pursuing what He has for me? Am I pursuing what He has called me to pursue? Or am I simply chasing my own desires? Am I simply chasing the desires of this world? Am I running after anything and everything other than what Jesus has called me to? You see, the yoke of Jesus calls us to pursue only what truly matters. The yoke of Jesus calls us to partner with Jesus. And this is good news, because if you are a believer, what this means is that whatever it is that you're going through, you're not going through it alone. You are paired with Jesus. He is there setting the pace for you. He's there changing those priorities. And in all of it, He's giving you rest. And so if you're burnt out today, as we think about these yokes, as if you're burnt out today, I would ask you, what yoke are you carrying? What have you paired your life with or partnered your life with? Are you carrying a yoke that you've taken up for yourself? Is it a yoke of the flesh? Is it a yoke of this world? Or have you taken up the yoke of Jesus that you might find rest in Him? Rest for your bodies, but most importantly, rest for your soul. As we think about burnout, let me say this, the struggle is definitely real. And if burnout is where you find yourself today, then let me just remind you one more time, Jesus is the answer. Because Jesus gives us a model to follow, He gives us rest to experience, and He gives us a yoke to take up. And when we accept this invitation to come to Jesus, when we accept this invitation to take up His yoke, and to stop trying to work on our own, but to rest in His strength, what we find is rest. What we find is exactly what He has for us, rest. The Pharisees had all of this work, but Jesus provides rest. And today, if you need to turn your life over to Jesus, that you might experience not only rest in your bodies, but rest for your soul, then I want to give you the opportunity to come this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we do, this is your opportunity to come. If you're here today and you would say, you know what? I've never given my life to Christ. I've never put my hope and my trust in the Lord. Maybe you've been trying to do it in your own strength. You've seen it as a works-based religion. It's what you can do for Jesus in order to save yourself. But today you realize it's not about what I can do. It's about what Jesus did for me when he died on the cross. If today you are ready to find rest in his work, then I would invite you to come. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. If you need to come to Jesus today, as we sing this song, I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love for you to join me down here. Let's talk. Let's pray. Today can be the day of your salvation. But maybe you're here and you would say, I've taken that step already. I've given my life to Christ. Jesus is my Lord, but I've never taken that next step to make it public through baptism. We had 4 baptisms last Sunday, an amazing thing. But maybe you need to make that commitment for baptism yourself, to make your faith in Christ public. Not that baptism saves us, but it shows that we are Christ followers. If you need to take that step to make that commitment today, then come join me. Let's talk, let's pray. We can make that commitment together. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ already. I've already been baptized by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know that today God is calling me to make this my church home, to connect my life with this body of believers right here in Stockdale. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. And today you can become a member here at First Baptist Church. But whatever it is that God is calling us to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond to the Lord obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.